Battle League Podcast. My name is James Strong, joined once again by my co-host Cody Tanner. Cody, how are you this fine Friday evening?
I'm doing great, James. It's apparently trade the house away Friday evening. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on in Pittsburgh town, but we're going to talk about it here on the podcast. How are you doing, James?
Man, I'm all right. I'm all right for a fire sale Friday, which is what it seems to be.
Literally.
Really, lots going on in free agency with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we're going to cut to the chase because the last time we talked to you guys, there was probably, I don't know, a half a dozen guys on the team that aren't anymore and more that are on the team that weren't before. And holy cow, is there a lot going on. And it all starts in the quarterback room with Pittsburgh acquiring quarterback Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I think at this time last, when we recorded the episode last, he was in Pittsburgh having the meeting.
Correct.
And then announced he planned on signing with Pittsburgh. And here we are, one-year deal, $1.2 million.
League minimum, thank you very much to Denver for cutting him and still owing him $85 million. So they're on the foot for most of his salary this upcoming season. I want to say it's like $38 or $37 million or something.
Something like that.
They have to pay him to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, which is just hilarious.
You might
comes
say.
With a very strong resume, right? You know, nine Pro Bowls, yeah. Super Bowl champion. He's had a lot of success throughout his career. Struggled a little bit more the last few years. It seems as though some of his strengths are going to fit real well with Arthur Smith offense, and some of his weaknesses are going to not fit very well with the Arthur Smith offense. So one of the things that he's known for is being a very good play-action passer. In fact, does it at a high rate and very successful doing so. That's great because that's something that Arthur Smith likes to do a lot in his offense. Arthur Smith also likes to have his quarterbacks use the middle of the field, and Russell Wilson does not like to do that. But one of the things that has been consistent for Pittsburgh as far as success at the quarterback position is keeping the turnovers low. That is something that Russell's good at. Also last year, very important note here, in the red zone last year, Russ threw 20 touchdown passes to only one interception. So he's dangerous and danger Russ, you might say, in that red zone area, which really has been an issue for Pittsburgh for the last few years and even probably more than the last couple years.
Yeah,
honestly.
I mean, the last 2 years have been, and then these first few years with Kenny really haven't bode well for us in the red zone at all. Passing or rushing, quite frankly. So,
yeah,
you got to hope that with the dual threat running back that Russ is or still is, he may help in that. And again, going back to the Denver thing, you might say they're going the extra mile high.
Oh, Lord.
In paying him for us. So we appreciate that for sure. I don't know, James, if you were going to get to your thoughts on this. I mean, obviously we've talked a little bit before the show, him not throwing over the middle very much is concerning, especially when that's been our complaint on this show for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
When you get a guy like Pat Freiermuth in there and then Darnell Washington now as well, you got to utilize the middle of the field to make sure George Pickens, Calvin Austin III, Deontay Johnson, or now other people, we'll get to that, can utilize the outside of the field and get open deep and stuff like that. If you're not using the middle of the field to throw the ball and everyone can just stay outside and play the outside against you, it makes you almost one-dimensional. Obviously, you still have run and pass, but if your pass game can only go outside or inside and your rush game can only go outside, you're still a one-dimensional football team.
So it allows for defenders to jump passes more, too, because they're anticipating outward cutting patterns, whether it's outs or post patterns or whatever it may be. So that's definitely a large concern. But it's going to be kind of exciting to see how this goes in the beginning. Another thing I forgot to mention is that Russ is actually one of the more accurate quarterbacks on deep balls. So that's part of why his touchdown to interception ratio is such a good ratio. I want to say he was like 28 touchdowns to only 6 or 8 interceptions last year. So it was a real nice ratio. And he is pretty good at that deep ball. So it could bode well for George Pickens. if Calvin Austin III has an increase in usage this year and his speed, if he's able to get some separation. Russ does have a strong arm. He should be able to get it out there in front of him and let him run under it. So we'll see how this shapes as far as the wide receiver room. That's probably the next direction that we're going to go here on this, is talking about that. But there's plenty of reason to think that this could be an upgrade from Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, Mitch Trubisky that we dealt with last year. At least he's got a strong resume of how he was at the beginning of his career. So if he can regain any of that for this upcoming season, it could be a lot of fun with Russ heading the room there.
Yeah. And I'm looking at some stats here just to kind of compare. We've obviously talked about Kenny Pickett. Now obviously Russ, and we'll get to there's more things going on. I'm sure you guys already know about, but we'll talk about them. We'll talk about them all. Just comparing Russell Wilson. So I'm looking at all these detailed, these advanced football stats that they talk about and that people are tracking now. They have something called bad percentage throws, which are percentage of poor throws per pass attempt. I don't know how they value that, but I mean, if they're consistent with it, then it should at least be easily to compare whether they're accurate numbers or not. It's still comparable. Bad percentage throws, Russ in his career has gone down the past few years from 18.6 his last year with Seattle to 15.6 in Denver his first year to 13.2 his most recent year. That's not saying that that's just saying he's not throwing bad balls. Kenny Pickett was above 18 both his first 2 years, and on target throws were below 73 both years. On target throws for Russell the past 2 years were both above 73%. So I think that Russell's going to come in with a little bit more swagger and confidence that Kenny never got a chance to develop, which I think is kind of what those numbers are indicating. I'm just excited more than anything to have someone who I think, yes, he doesn't utilize the middle of the field, but again, we talk about those long balls. How many times have we seen Kenny or Mason or Mitch overthrow, underthrow, throw the ball outside on these long bombs to George Pickens, to Calvin Austin III, to Deontay when we had him? Even the Chase Claypool when he was still here, we saw overthrow balls. So I don't know.
Yeah, that was a really frustrating thing with Mitch because I don't know if he completed a single deep ball the whole time he was in Pittsburgh, man.
If he did, it was to James Washington.
that didn't overlap at all.
James Washington and you said Mitch. Mitch. Sorry, I was thinking Mason. I was thinking Mason because they played together.
Yeah, I mean, Mason was way better at it than Mitch was. He actually connected on a few of those at the end of the year and was paid for it. So he's making three times as much this year as what he made last year. Good for him. That was something that we saw start to correct itself with more consistent play from Kenny and from Mason at the end of the year. It was a real major problem with Mitch. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn once it was past 20 yards, which was a real major issue. So yeah, that's an exciting thing for me as well. You know, you need that to be a possibility. If you step on the field and the defense knows that your quarterback can't complete anything further than 20 yards past down the field and isn't even going to try, then they're not going to line up deep and they're not going to respect it. And the safeties aren't going to help because they know they don't need to. They're just going to leave the corners one-on-one and know that the ball is not going to be even remotely close to the wide receiver anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Yep.
So that should be a pretty nice upgrade with Russ. Lots of drop-offs with Russ. He's well known for checking the ball down to his running backs. So get used to a lot of that. Jaylen Warren is going to see the ball a lot out of Russ for sure.
Yeah, but here's the one thing that we hope for is we hope that it's planned a little bit better than it has been in the future. We hope that if that's an option, they have other routes going away from them. I remember so many times I've seen us check down balls to Najee or Jaylen Warren where they're just kind of strolling out, and you have a receiver coming from you're dumping out to the running back on the right side. You have a receiver or tight end coming from left to right, and they're bringing their guy or the other middle linebacker with them. And so you're setting your team up for failure on that. You're setting your running back to have to go up against one or two guys instead of having open field. Hopefully we kind of fix that with this Arthur Smith offense. And I'm very intrigued to see how I mean, quite frankly, I wore a white shirt. Literally, this is dumb. It's a blank slate. It's a blank slate year. There's nothing on, like, I mean, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, new system. You're going to basically have an entire new offense because you don't have to go off anything Kenny Pickett's already learned. You're starting fresh with Russell. There's yeah. Russell's the only quarterback in the room right now. There's nobody else. So, I mean.
So, with that being said, let's move on to the Kenny Pickett news then, because there's no point in putting that on to the end of the show.
No.
So, right before we started recording, the news broke. Kenny Pickett has officially been traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. Didn't see that one coming.
Nope.
There was always a possibility that Kenny would want out of town once Russ signed, especially if Russ was guaranteed the starting job.
Which he
was. Reports are starting to come out that he was promised the starting job, and that's why Kenny didn't want to stick around, because he did not think it was really going to truly be a competition, that he was just kind of going to be the backup to Russ. So if that's the case, if that's true what happened, then you kind of understand that, I guess. The details of the trade. The Philadelphia Eagles gave up their third round pick number 98 overall, which Cody pointed out to me previous to the show starting, mm-hmm. that was the compensatory pick that they earned for losing Javon Hargrave in free agency. So Javon Hargrave coming back to help us again. They also acquired the Eagles 2 7th round picks for not this upcoming draft, but the following one.
2025.
So 2025 7th round draft picks. We gave up pick 120, which was our second pick in the 4th round. So we gave up a 4, got a 3, moves up 32 spots an entire round, really. So this is going to be one of the compensatory picks in the 3rd round. We will now have 2 3rd round picks and 1 4th round pick. And you have to think, with losing Kenny Pickett, that drafting a quarterback has got to be a priority now, and not necessarily somebody to overtake Russ year one. And it might not even be somebody to take over in year two. You might end up going back to the quarterback well again next year. But you got to get somebody of some kind of pedigree in there in that room. You can't just have Russ and a bunch of undrafted guys. That doesn't work.
Yeah. So looking at this real quick while we have time, and this is kind of going to this should include the Dante Jackson trade, I believe. I could be wrong. No, I'm probably gonna wait on this. I have something pulled up that has our draft picks set up, but I don't know if they're accurate now.
Well, tell me what it says and I'll tell you, because I got most of them memorized.
Obviously, round one, pick 20. We're gonna be round one, pick 20. Round two, we're gonna be pick 19 overall, which is 51st overall.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the 3rd round, we'll be 84th overall pick. And then
and now 98.
And now 98, and then 119.
Correct, yep.
And then 178.
That's the Dante Jackson one, yes.
So that's the one we got, perfect. And then 195, which are the correct. 2 6th rounders. And that's it. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Two threes, 1 4, and 2 6s.
No, you're right, 1 4. We got rid of 1 4.
1 4 now, yep.
But the 2 3s help, so...
Yeah, and a lot of folks are talking that this is a draft class that is not super deep, so you don't want a bunch of picks at the end of the draft. So not having a 5 doesn't concern me as much. A couple of 6, okay, well, maybe you're stretching as to whether or not you're going to have a lot of value there. One of those 6, that one that was acquired yesterday, which we'll talk about that trade with the Deontay Johnson for a cornerback in a trade swap, that one appears to be pretty high in the 6th round, so you might still have some value going on there. But the 7th round picks are gone. Nothing. They didn't even trade for 7th round picks this year, so it stands to reason that Pittsburgh might have felt the same, that the end of the draft class was just not there.
That's number 2 in the 6th round from Carolina.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Nice and high in that round, so that's a good thing. The Kenny Pickett era is over. It's over, and it seems like it just started.
It doesn't even seem like it started.
Yeah. Yeah, poor guy just, got thrown into the fire against the Bills for his first full starting game. And he really went up against it with not a very good offense most of the time and with a really poor offensive coordinator. I felt like he was progressing slowly in his time with Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. just clearly was not fast enough for what Pittsburgh wanted to do. So
No, and I think I personally believe that's partly on Pittsburgh's fault. I believe that's on the team. I believe that's on how they handled things, in my opinion, personally. But it is what it is.
If you moved on from Matt Canada a year earlier, then maybe Kenny really, really blows up last year, and then you're not doing this whole thing with Ross. But
yep.
Hey, it is what it is. Let's continue on the offensive side of the ball, Cody. Deontay Johnson apparently requested a trade. So they traded him to the Carolina Panthers, got their starting cornerback Dante Jackson in return. Pittsburgh gave up their seventh round pick and acquired the Carolina Panthers' sixth round pick, which is the one Cody just referred to as the second overall pick in the sixth round.
Yep.
That's pick 178. So they went from 240 to 178, which is basically jumping up two rounds. That's a pretty big jump. What we're getting in this guy is a corner who's been in the league since 2018. He was a second round draft pick. At the combine, he weighed in at 5'10 and 1/2, 178 pounds, ran a 4.3 140. So he is very, very fast. But he also only has 29.5 inch long arms. So he's short, light, short arms, but real fast.
Yep.
Apparently the tape indicates he does have some issues with tackling, which is not abnormal for a guy that small. And 13 career interceptions for him thus far. So he does have some ball production going on there. Not a real option as far as a slot corner due to the lack of tackling ability. So he's likely to play as an outside corner for us. Right now, he's the number two corner. Just by default, pretty much. But I don't expect Pittsburgh to be done in the cornerback room. I think you'll probably see at least one more brought in through free agency, whether maybe bring back Shandon Sullivan to kind of round out the room a little bit better before the draft. I still expect corner to be a position addressed in the draft and probably pretty highly. Second or third round is probably what I'm thinking with corner now. Yeah. So
offensive,
we'll see
line
how that
corner
goes, but big, big trade, you know? So starting quarterback gone, number one wide receiver gone, like starting center gone. They are turning this roster over, and it screams we're not okay with mediocrity.
Yeah, finally, mm-hmm. We're doing something and changing things up. And I believe that this is part in the team calling out the coaching staff. I mean, Najee Harris called out the way they trained last year the whole time, and now I believe that Omar Khan's also just kind of getting grips on his position. And I mean, he was active last year in free agency in the draft, and this year he's incredibly active in free agency, incredibly active in trades. And I realize we're saying incredibly when we've traded just had two trades, but that's big for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh doesn't trade often. They typically ride contracts out. They give guys the benefit of the doubt, and that's just the Rooney way, though. It's the way they've done things. Obviously we'll get into free agency here, bringing in Russ, bringing in the veteran. We're also going to be bringing in on the defensive side of the ball. Let's talk about it real quick. The former first round pick, also former Baltimore Raven division rival, middle linebacker, Patrick Queen, coming in. Patrick Queen on a 3-year deal, $41 million in the pocket for him. Holy cow. I mean,
big time money,
big time player. Like, let's be real here. This is a guy that is going to come in day one starter. Him and Cole Holcomb now are the tandem to be watching out for. And I love that.
It's exciting, yeah. And it seems that there's a real big fear within the Steelers organization that Cole Holcomb will not be ready for the beginning of the season. So we would expect this to be Landon Roberts and Patrick Queen to start the season off. But literally Patrick Queen coming off his best season as a pro last year, got his first Pro Bowl nod and a second team All-Pro as well. He's only 24 years old right now, coming off of his 4-year rookie deal. Will turn 25 very early in the season. I want to say he's like an August 31st birthday. It's in August 1, if I remember correctly. So he's very young still. So this is exciting to me, man. This is, I would say, without him even lacing up his cleats and putting on a Steelers jersey for the first time, he is already the best middle linebacker on this team since the day Ryan Shazier got injured.
Yep. Hands down.
And probably less, Cody just mentioned, by a significant margin. Unfortunately, in related news, the Cleveland Browns signed Devin Bush today. I love it.
So do I. We know his weakness. He can't guard a tight end to save his life.
Hope he starts. Hope he starts for him. Anyway, so this is awesome, man. You know, they've taken how many swings with Devin Bush in the first round, trading up to get Devin Bush, multiple third and fourth round pick middle linebackers. None of them panned out. Most of them didn't even end up staying on the roster for more than a couple of years, other than Devin Bush making it through his entire rookie deal. But just you gotta, if it's kind of like how the cornerback position got for Pittsburgh. They got to a point where they kept on trying, kept on trying, kept on trying. Every pick was failing, other than Cameron Sutton was a pretty successful one.
Yep.
But they just said, screw it, and they went out and got Joe Hayden, right?
Yep.
Great move. Joe Hayden still got a Pro Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He faded near the end of his career. They tried to reproduce that with Patrick Peterson. It didn't work out last year, unfortunately. But if you're struggling at something, change something up, man. If you're just not good at drafting it, then okay, attack it in free agency. I'm good with it. You still take some cracks, right? You're still going to draft some middle linebackers. You're going to try to find another guy to pair with them. Cole Holcomb, I think, has two more years on the deal that he signed with Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And like I said, they're a little concerned about whether or not he's going to be ready at the beginning of the year this year. So you still try, I think. I think maybe you use one of those third-round picks or a fourth-round pick on a middle linebacker. See if you can't strike gold and maybe find a younger guy for Patrick Queen to bring along to be his replacement down the road. But being only 24 years old, you might end up giving Patrick Queen another contract after this one. If he continues the level of play as what he did in Baltimore last year in Pittsburgh this year, there's no reason that we shouldn't be thinking he's going to get another contract when this is done with us.
Yep. I'm looking at something here, James, that I want to share with you because I just think it's funny. Pittsburgh's cap hit right now. Guess so. The cap space available is $253 million, I believe. Is that correct?
Sounds about right. Yeah.
So special teams accounts for $6.8 million.
We didn't get to that, but go ahead.
Oh, is this on the list?
Yeah, Cameron Johnson, new punter, man.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just going over the. I just want to talk about this real quick.
Go ahead, yes.
Guess how much the defense accounts for.
It's going to be like probably 180 or more.
Okay, no, not that. 161 million.
Okay.
161, off, which out of 253 is well over half. The offense right now. Because
we're not paying wide Russell. Receiver. We're not paying a quarterback. We're not paying a wide receiver. We're not even paying a running back yet.
No.
We're not paying a tight end. Everybody's on rookie deals still. The only guys that aren't on rookie deals are the offensive linemen that we brought in free agency.
Yep. And Russell, who's on the league minimum because Denver's paying him.
Yeah.
$60 million for the offense right now. That is wild. We still have about $15 million in cap space to use. Now, some of that is going to be saved for, I believe that's how that works. So some of that is compartmentalized for the rookie draft class, but still some room to wiggle around and play there with. It's just hilarious to me to see that we're spending that much on defense with everything going
on. Hey, no point in overpaying guys that aren't that good, right?
Oh, 100%. Like,
why would you go out right now and sign an offensive tackle and give him $15 million a year when the only guys that free agency are all cast-offs that nobody wanted or they weren't that good?
Yep. It's not like someone had a good year and wants to go get paid.
Yeah, that's not it. Nope. And there's nobody coming off of rookie deals for us to re-sign. So that's going to change next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see Pat Freiermuth coming off of his rookie deal next year. We're going to see Najee Harris coming off of his rookie deal next year. I expect those guys to both get paid. So that's all going to change starting next year. Let's continue on the defensive side of the ball before we get into the special teams players here, Cody. next on the defensive side of the ball, Pittsburgh brings in a new safety, quite possibly a new starting strong safety to play opposite of Mr. Micah Fitzpatrick. We've brought in Deshaun Elliott, last year of the Miami Dolphins. Previous to that was some time with the Ravens as well.
Yep.
He's a 6'1", 210-pound safety. Brings a little bit of thump. He's definitely a hitter. 2-year contract for $6 million total, so $3 million a year. Very affordable contract. I want to say that he started like 50 of the 56 games he's been in.
50 of the 57. Tons is 50 of the 57.
50 of 57. Very, very close. Cody's got the facts. He'll always call me out when I'm wrong, too. but that's not too bad from memory there for me. So, yeah, lots of starting experience, good size. Athleticism isn't too bad. He was a 4.5 840 in the 40-yard dash when he came out as a rookie, but the jump numbers were good. He was like a 36 in the vert and like 10.1 in the broad or something. So real good numbers as far as jumping, which shows you that like first couple sets of acceleration and speed at the beginning of it. Yep. Not great top end speed, but again, your strong safety doesn't necessarily have to have that. So don't expect him to come in and get us 4 or 5 interceptions a year. That's not his game. But he is a pretty well-rounded safety, and I do believe he's going to be a higher quality one than what Keanu Neal was last year, and might allow for a little bit better level of physicality than you were able to get out of a smaller guy like DeMonte Casey.
Yep. Yeah, I'm excited for that signing. I'm not excited for him in coverage, but hopefully we utilize him similar to how do we use Ryan Clark. You know, he's just that middle of the field protector kind of guy. He's not your ball hawk safety, anything like that. He's your run, you know, support run guy, run support guy.
Yep. Cover tight ends, take care of, yeah, help against the run, allow Minkah to be the deep.
Allow Minkah to safety. Be Minkah. Yep. Let's be real. Yep. Cause he hasn't been able
That's
to do
that. That's the important thing. He needs to be big enough and physical enough for Minkah to not have to come up and stop the run on every single play like he had to last year.
Yep.
And that's exactly something he's capable of doing. And 4.58 isn't slow.
No.
For a safety, that's basically average speed. So he's okay. You don't really worry about the speed of a safety until you start talking in the 4.6s, 4.7s. Then it's a slow dude. But I think he's going to look every bit the part of what you're looking for in a safety and really not look too much different than Terrell Edmunds. And I mean that in a complimentary way, because Terrell Edmunds most of the time didn't show up negatively on film. He didn't get beat deep, and he was a sound tackler. He was good against tight ends. Cody just hated it because he didn't have 18 interceptions a year like he did in his Madden franchise. So that was why he hated
Listen,
him so
he had 2-1 game. If he could do that half the time, it would be all right. But
yeah.
Yeah. the one thing I will point out here for him, and I mean, his rookie year set aside, he has consistently allowed a better and better passer rating for being against the quarterbacks of the opposite team. He went from 113 passer rating his second year in the league to 120 to 125. And then to last year, his only year with Miami, allowing 140.8 passer rating. So please don't let him go man-to-man against anybody. If he does, allow there to be some kind of support system for him, because apparently he can't stop, you know, passes. But I don't know how Miami was using him, so we'll see what Terrell Austin can do.
Yeah, if they were using him single high, then that's the wrong way to use him, so. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see, but I think he's going to be a fairly solid defender for us. Continuing on the defensive side of the room, Pittsburgh did give Montrevis Adams a 2-year deal.
Woot, woot.
I expect this to be worth less money than last time.
Drastic.
Because now he is going to be a backup as to where before they signed him to a 2-year deal to be a starter.
Yep.
So I haven't seen the terms on what that was for money-wise yet, but I do anticipate that that won't be a big dollar amount on him. So yeah. Brings a little more solid to the defensive unit. Armon Watts also signed with another team, so don't expect Armon Watts back. He won't be.
Yep.
So that does mean there will be a little bit of turn front. So either the opportunity then becomes for Isaiah Loudermilk or DeMarvin Leal to step into a larger role than they were last year, or the possibility of a draft pick coming in to compete and try to steal some playing time from those guys.
Yeah.
I'm all for a draft pick at that defensive group, because you got to continue getting younger. You got your two best guys are older, not giving you the production they did when they were younger at this stage. I don't really count last year against Cam Hayward, because he missed half the year. And when he did start playing again, he was still far from healthy. That groin injury was pretty bad for him last year. If it's bad enough, you need surgery at the end of the year. It's bad.
Yeah.
So
not good.
That leads me to think that Cam Hayward will be closer to his normal form next season. But again, he's like 35. You can't expect him to play like he did 5 years ago. It's just, it's not likely in the cards. Could he? Sure. It's very unlikely, though. You keep on seeing more of these guys hanging up the cleats earlier in the offseason. Fletcher Cox retired. Aaron Donald retired today. So guys his age are not continuing to play typically.
Yeah.
He's going to be one of the old guard now.
Who retired today? Say that again.
Aaron Donald.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
One less guy for TJ to go up against defensive player of the year, I guess.
He hasn't been a real candidate in a number.
That's true. Speaking of retirements, let's talk about this real quick before we go to the third side of the ball. Derek Watt also retired recently.
Yeah. So
congrats to him getting to spend some time with the family, probably going back up to Wisconsin, eating some cheese, dunking himself in some lake ice water, and
staying in Pittsburgh. He bought a home while he was there, spending a lot of time with TJ. So I wouldn't be surprised if he just stays in Pittsburgh.
You never know. But now, in the famous words of Sketch, it's time for special teams, special plays, special players. Here we go, talking special players. Let's go.
Good God.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about, too.
I do know, and it's all an act. You realize that, right?
Oh, it's hilarious, though.
Yeah.
It's so good. I mean, hey, he's making it work. He's making a living
for himself. It worked for him, man. Lots of people know who he is from his online video game streaming playing Madden. So. Yep.
He played against Vontaze Burfict, too, which was hilarious. Yeah,
that was funny, yeah. Special teams, like you said,
punter.
Right?
Let's talk punter.
Let's talk punter. Punting's been an issue for Pittsburgh for years and years now, right?
Yep.
Shouldn't be anymore. Cameron Johnston, formerly of the Houston Texans, has been signed to a three-year, $9 million deal, so $3 million per year. He graded out as the 13th best punter last year in average yards per punt. Has been a very consistent player in the NFL thus far with, I believe, 3 years with two teams. 3 years with the Texans, 3 years with somebody further north. I forget if it was like Philly or Cincinnati or something like that, but he played in a northern team, so the weather up here is not abnormal for him. Also went to Ohio State, so he did play in the cold weather in Ohio State.
Philly.
This is an Australian-born kicker.
Went to Philly. He was Philly
yeah.
Philly
so
first 3 years.
Philly weather versus Pittsburgh weather, very similar. He can kick in the cold. And so between Philly and Ohio State, he's definitely used to kicking in the cold. So that should not be an issue. Known for having a very consistent leg, not shanking the ball, an Australian product. So just another one of those dudes. But, hey, that's what we need is a guy that is going to give you that 47-yard kick every time.
In 6 years, his average yards per punt ranges from 46.4 to 48.1. 6 years.
That's a tight window, man.
That's a very tight window.
That's great. That's as consistent as you can get. So that's an exciting thing. I know it's not the splash that people are looking for, but when you're used to your punter, you know, shanking 20 and 30 yard punts at the most inopportune times, putting the defense in horrible positions instead of pinning them inside their own five. Like, that's not going to be an issue here, man. This dude's a really good punter.
Well, and here's the thing. His touchback percentage went from 11.5 his rookie year to 4.5 last 3 years. And his inside the 20 percentage has gone up pretty much every year from 39.3 to 45.5. Almost half of his punts are getting downed inside the 20-yard line.
That's great.
That's
what you ask your punter to do every time. If they do that every time and the other team's got to go 80 plus yards every single possession, you got a good chance of shutting them down more often than not. So great weapon there. Another fantastic weapon on special teams is our former Pro Bowler from last year, Miles Killebrew.
Yeah.
Miles got himself a nice extension as well.
Mr. Block
with a 2 year. Yeah. 2 years. $6.5 million over those 2 years. So $3.25 million basically averaging per year. So I would actually kind of argue with that number as far as the salary cap that you were looking at and say that his $3 million should count versus the special teams category, which which would put that closer to 9 mil rather than the 6 mil that they were showing. But hey, whatever. That doesn't really matter that much. Yeah. Not going to make a big difference on the overall numbers there. But Miles really has separated himself as not just a special guy when it comes to punt blocking. But if you got a chance to watch the All-Star skill competition, he did the punt catch drill with a bunch of other guys, and he was able to field 7 balls. That means he caught one, hold on to it, catch the second one, held on to it, catch the third one, got all the way to where he had 6 and still caught a 7th ball. That was more than anybody else. And the great thing about it is the commentators were literally bashing him as he did it, and he just proved them wrong. They were talking about how he didn't have any plan and had no clue what he was doing, and then he did better than all the wide receivers and that were there. So screw you, anti-Steeler bias. Go Miles Killebrew.
Yep. Yep, we're team Miles Killebrew here. And then we also don't talk, let's not forget the other guy.
Yeah, man, Mr. Long Snapper himself, also a 3-year deal. We're just not 3-year deal. Dang near. I'm good with it. Mr. Zach Coates is a real nice long snapper. He's did a great job for us. They almost never do this, man. It's usually a 1-year deal for these guys. So I think it's pretty cool that they gave him a 3-year contract. They never saw money. I'm sure it's probably vet minimum. Yeah. But he's originally a Pittsburgh product, so he's happy to stay there for another 3 years.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. With that being said, that wraps up pretty much everything for this show. There's just so much going on in the world of sports, especially the football as we get closer to the draft. People are talking Caleb Williams, Justin Fields. Listen, Justin Fields still hasn't been traded. Is there a chance that Pittsburgh pursues him now that they don't have somebody in there? I don't think so. To
you won't have to give up crap for him, man. You'd probably just give up one of them 6th-round picks and get him at this point.
Yeah. I mean, and that would give you your younger player that you still want to develop and actually have it be them more kind of similar in their play styles. So you got to wonder what Pittsburgh could do here. What's their plan? If Chicago doesn't plan on drafting Caleb Williams and with the number one overall, do they trade back? Do they do this and that? There's so many different things that we're going to see. You have something to say.
I got a theory for you on that one. Minnesota today traded for another team's first round pick. So they now have 2 first round picks. I think Minnesota is going to make a move with their 2 first round picks and try to trade up into the top 5 to get one of those quarterbacks, quite possibly going after that number one overall pick from the Bears.
Interesting. Interesting theory. Well, we will have to wait and see what happens, I suppose.
Otherwise, it's Sam Darnold in Minnesota. So, man, they got to do something.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to do something. Let us know what you guys think of these moves, all the trades, all the signings. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. We appreciate you guys for listening or watching if you're on YouTube. Again, thank you guys so much. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.